The manuscript is done. You've given yourself time to build objective distance. You anticipate problems, but you don't know what to look for or how to fix those problems. You're eager to publish. You're even contemplating marketing, but your intuition tells you to hold up. Revise first. Yet how do writers revise? For all the writing how-to books and podcasts, few break down what and when and how to revise. A process, in other words, to lead to success. Maybe this episode can help. Welcome to The Right Focus, a podcast for writers, newbies and veterans, and everyone in between. We're hosted by M.A. Lee with the assistance of Remy Black and Edie Runes, all from Writers, Inc. Books. Our focus is productivity, process, craft, and tools. Each episode lasts as long as it takes to fix a quick dinner, grab a short commute, or take a brisk walk. Resources and links are in the show notes. Visit us at therightfocus.blogspot.com. Now, on to this week's episode. Congratulations! You have completed a manuscript. Maybe you have several completed manuscripts, and all of them have something just a little bit wrong with them, but you don't know what, and you don't know how to approach it. Revising your manuscript is your next project goal. After that, we enhance, improve, publish, and promo. Then it's on to the next writing project. Revision, though, can be a beast. How do we do it? What do we do? It's a process, one stage at a time. First, accept that we approach revision in those stages. Second, accept that the goal of revision is to improve the manuscript, not to make it longer or to pad out scenes. Third, accept that your own writing of the manuscript controls the amount of revision that is necessary. We'll take that last point first. It's tied to the second. If you wrote what I call gobbledygook in areas of your manuscript, you haven't finished the draft. What is gobbledygook? It's any portion of a manuscript that is not written in a narrative storytelling form. Maybe you listed the events in order that needed to happen during a scene. You know what will occur, it's just not in storytelling form. The sentences and paragraphs of narrative, the opinions and feelings of the point of view character, the dialogue between characters. Sorry to tell you this, your manuscript is not completed. Fix those pages now, then come back to this episode. Perhaps you have notes to yourself to pad out a scene. Maybe you glossed over the murderous encounter in the park because you just weren't feeling in the mood when the day came to write that scene. Or the thrilling escape, or the passionate kiss. My apologies yet again. Fix those scenes, then come back to this episode. Maybe you wrote, put kiss here, or have a sword fight here, or do something exciting here. For all of those instances, I have to tell you, you have not finished your manuscript. The reason you avoided any of the above examples does not matter. What does matter is that we start revision with a fully finished manuscript. We need the whole story before us, characters fully developed, all scenes and sequels of plot in place, and fully written. The goal of revision is to improve the finished manuscript. For a draft, we don't just stop writing and start tinkering. Our goal is in the word revision, to see again, literally. In actuality, to see with new eyes. That is the reason we let the manuscript steep for 5 to 7 days before we come back to it. Now that we know our story, we can fill the waiting time with other necessaries, like the book description or blurb. We can't write that before the story is done. Oh, we can sketch it out earlier, before the manuscript is finished. But we can't call the book description finished until the manuscript is finished, and neither is complete yet. I've had several novels take completely different tracks on me when I thought I was 50 pages to the end. Thus, when we're giving ourselves a week to achieve objective distance, use the time wisely, still writing. What is objective distance? It's emotional steps away from our manuscript. When we finish, it's our baby. It's our precious. We take pride in it. It's all creative, born onto the page. Revision is cold, critical. We can't be emotional in this stage of writing. A week gives our emotions time to settle down. A week gives our memory time to forget a little of the story. Skimming is fatal during the revision stage. We need to read every word, not just anticipate and slide over the words. And revision takes steps. By the time we finish revision and tinker with enhancements, we'll need more objective distance before proofreading. So, our manuscript is in its final draft form. What do we do? How do we do it? I usually rattle off pacing and plot holes and character discrepancies. This time, we'll go into detail. An admission before we start. I like to work with the printed manuscript. We miss too much working with the digital manuscript, whether we have a software program specifically designed for writing, like Scrivener or Atticus, or whether we just have a simple Word program. I've been around computers since the mid-1980s. I worked with them daily. I've kept up to date with changes. And I still say people miss so much when they work on screen. I've multiple evidences of this. For me, for other people. I could detail them, but you'd be bored. Also, people tinker when they see a problem. In the first step of revision, we don't want to tinker. We can recycle the paper later if it hurts your soul to print something out. Do so anyway. Or start on screen. Sit on your hands. First thing you tinker with, admit the printout is best. We can do all the steps of revision with one printout, maybe the enhancement stage as well. The computer still has the pristine draft. We can create a save as document, call it revision with the title, and we can revert if we need to. Here we go. First step, be armed with a strong highlighter and tiny sticky notes and do a rapid read. We want to read the manuscript as quickly as possible. We've worked with individual scenes and chapters over several weeks, sometimes months. Now we need a rapid read all in one day, start to finish, no interruptions. Highlight errors. Place a sticky note on pages with problems. No ink, no pencils. Don't write a single word. Don't correct and edit. Don't fix typos and grammars. Whole pages may change. Just read. Slap on a sticky note when the page reads slowly, where the seam falls apart or needs to lengthen. Circle using the highlighter any typos or grammars and keep going. Don't try to work anything out. Just keep reading. Just keep reading. First page to last. Second, the day after the rapid read is done, consider your feelings about the manuscript. Expect doubts, but do ask, did I get my vision of the story down? That's our only question at the moment. Ignore the idea of imposter syndrome. Just cast it out of your mind. You're not thinking about you. You're thinking about the story. If you think you have the story down, the one that you saw in your head when you started, great. If no, however, make a list of how you missed covering the original vision. I've had stories stray, characters veer off the original plan, but if the characters remain true to themselves rather than my forcing them into a road that they would not travel, then I've done my job correctly. If you think they veered off track, analyze where they took their first misstep. Think this. Don't go looking for it. Then create a jot list to fix this problem. Will the changes flow through the manuscript at that point? Or can you add a few snippets prior to set up the veered-off path for the readers? Snippets, mind you. Not a whole paragraph, but a sentence here and there. Maybe they followed the impetus of a worry line you didn't anticipate. Set that up. One sentence when they come on. A couple of sentences at the next meeting. Two or three sentences at our fifth encounter of them. Did you not finish any scenes? I left issues unresolved. Did you take care of all the dead bodies and the secrets? Did any scenes veer off or run into corners? These scenes should have worked out earlier. When I run into blind corners when I draft, I have to back up and work out of them at that point. I don't leave them. You didn't leave them, did you? Those box canyons in your draft? They're all fixed, right? Third, consider the story's pacing. Time to pick up a pen. List each chapter and a one-sentence description, such as 1. B&L meet in a bank during a holdup. 2. L. Leo is taken hostage. B. Bonnie follows. Or Bonnie catches the bouquet after she meets Leo at his ex's second wedding. And Bonnie and Leo meet a week later when he comes to her accounting office to hire a CPA. After you complete this one-sentence summary of each chapter, beside each, make 1 of 3 arrows. An up arrow for an intense scene, whether the intensity is because of action or because it's high emotional stakes expressed on the page. Those with really high intensity or emotions, give yourself 2 up arrows. A down arrow for chapters without emotional intensity or without high stakes action. And we should have a few of these. And a sideways arrow for chapters that manage to do both intensity and tranquility, even briefly. Chapters should run like the ocean waves. Some are high intensity, running high onto the beach. A very few waves break low. Most waves hit the midpoint. Our chapters should be mostly 1 up and even on arrows. A few, especially at the 75% mark and at the end, with either chapter 1 preferred or chapter 2, those should have 2 up arrows. And the least or the fewest number of chapters will have down arrows. If you have very few double arrows, only 1 or 2, consider increasing the tension and the suspense stakes for more. I hate to do numbers. I hate to do a formula. But say you have 30 chapters. You should have about 16 up arrows. About 2 at the beginning, 3 at the 75% mark, and 4 at the end. This is really an estimate. You should have 5 down arrows scattered throughout the book, spaced away from each other. Dean Koontz's novel Velocity has 2 up arrows all the way through. An intense novel that I read in one sitting, way into the night. I mean, like 4:30 a.m. when I finished. There was no breathing space in that novel. Readers, by the way, do need the occasional breathing space. Don't bore them with pacing. Do give them a chance to refill their water bottle or run to the restroom. We've dealt with plot holes and character problems. Our vision of the story has reached the page. We have a good wave-like pacing. If not, we need to write more. Then start with a rapid read again and go through steps 2 and 3. So, say all that works. We're now in step 4. We're going to take care of the sticky notes. Maybe you already have when you fixed your problems and your pacing in steps 2 and 3. If not, remember the reason for the sticky notes. Read the page slowly because your inner reader was bored. Find a way to add an emotional spark, a bit of unexpected action, quickie lines, humorous dialogue. We placed a sticky note also where we race through a scene that needs a page or two more. But don't bog down the scene. Maybe you only need a paragraph. Maybe you only need 6 or 7 comments back and forth with characters to stress a crucial point or reveal a character's angst or a worry line. Maybe 2 or 3 sentences of a character's baggage interfering in a situation. Or a snippet here and there to increase the consequences of things that go wrong for your main character. We also placed a sticky note when things fell apart on the page. This problem is hard to fix. Often, we do not know where the train wreck started. I will tell you, it's often at the start of the scene, or even 5 to 7 pages back away from that scene where things fell apart. Usually, though, things fell apart because we missed a logical link in the chain of events. list each link in that sequence leading to the problem. Yes, write it down. Ensure each link is a natural step, one to the next. If you can't see it, ask someone. Ask a pro. Give a detective your list and ask what you missed. Or just call a detective up, or a nurse, or an attorney, or an archaeologist, or anyone in the profession that you're talking about. Ask for a few minutes of their time and offer to pay. They might do it for free. Ask what they would do in that situation. Ask where people make mistakes. While you have their attention, ask what people do wrongly and about their work or their pet peeves. Those two answers can be very insightful for your writing. Anyway, you can find out what's wrong about that chain of events. If you can't find the missing link, the problem may not be in the logical sequence, but in the consequences. Think reality, not what you want or need to happen, but what does happen 99% of the time. Don't go with rare occasions. Don't go with unusual coincidences. Make reality work for you. If you're working in the realms of science fiction or fantasy, then you control the world and the tech, or the magical system, or the beings scientifically or magically created. The problem may be that you need additional work developing these background systems. Remember that every action has an equal and opposing action, a consequence. Even invented tech and fantastical magic operate based on natural laws, and tech and magic often cannot solve issues alone. I can't be more specific without knowing the actual circumstance. For good tech worked out, read Martha Wells's Murderbot. It's science fiction fused with mystery. For good fantasy with magic worked out, read Patricia Briggs's The Hobbs Bargain. R. T. Kingfisher's A Wizard's Guide to Defensive Baking. For steampunk, read Lindsay Baroker's The Emperor's Edge. It's also action-adventure. For fairy tale retelling, read Frozen by Mel Jean Brooks. These books are also wonderful to understand voice and how it affects story. Follow these revision steps, hard as they are, and the story will be so much more than you originally envisioned. In a few weeks, we look at enhancements, the small touches that begin to elevate our writing. As long as we keep a light touch on the throttle, we're digging into sentence craft, symbols, motifs, osesis. Enhancements will be a series all its own called Sentence Craft. Next week will be corrections, followed by promos and publish to finish out January. Writing book descriptions, scripts for book trailers, setting up a series of posts for the week of publication, and the nitty-gritty things to publish on the two rivals, Drafted Digital and Amazon KDP. We also have some things to know when we're formatting ebooks and paperback documents. Inspiration comes from Bernard Malamud, who said, "First drafts are for learning what your novel or story is about." We can look at revision as the way of clarifying what our story is about so that our audience will know, just as we now know. Thanks for listening to The Right Focus, a podcast for writers at all levels, hosted by Emma Lee from Writers Inc. Books, assisted by Remy Black and Edie Runes. Our focus is productivity, process, craft, and tools. Music is licensed through Audio Jungle, called Background Music Loop. Its creator is Alexander Polishchuk, known on Audio Jungle as Plastic 3. The music comes in different iterations. Show notes and resource links for this and other episodes can be found at therightfocus.blogspot.com. Write to us at winkbooks@aol.com when you have questions, comments, and speculations. We will try to answer you as quickly as possible. By the way, we will not mine your email address. That's rude. If you find value in our content, share with your writing friends or write a review. We're small beans here without the advertising budget of the big peeps, and you can make a difference. And whatever occurs, write on.